Thank you. It's good to be here. God bless you. Listen, before we start, I just want just to take a minute. I think the further you go in life, one of the things that happens to you is your heart gets broken, you get crushed, you go through things. And as you go through them, the thing that God begins to reveal to you is what his love means, how much he loves you. We just go through so many crises, and in the process of all that, God's revealing his love. And this is what I've been learning over the last 3 or 4 years, is that love always will find an expression. Love is not a philosophy. It's not an idea. It's something that always. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. We okay? Back up some.
No, you're good.
Good. All right. Hallelujah.
That's for those who were asleep.
Love is always requires an expression. It cannot exist by itself. That's why so much of the New Testament is about love one another, how we relate one to another. For example, when I think about the people in China, some of whom I know, and I go to China once in a rare while, I just love them. You know why? Because they're not living next to me. It's easy to love people that don't live next to you. That's not really love. You have an affection for them. Love is when you begin to have a relationship and you find some way to express what's between the two of you. See, I don't love by myself. This is my son Joseph, my youngest son here. I'm not love. But what exists between us is love. You understand?
Yes.
And the older I get and survive, more of the stuff I survive, the more I'm understanding that this is what the love of God is. Love always, the love of God always finds an expression. God will find a way to show me and tell me that he loves me. He will find a way. No matter what is going on in me or around me, God will discover, dig up, construct, build, or tear down, or whatever he's got to do. But he'll find a way to tell me and demonstrate to me and make real to me that he loves me. I discover this in my marriage, been married 40 years. And I'm absolutely, thank you. I am totally, desperately head over heels in love with my sweet Gloria. I'm in love with her. I'm stupid about it. I still am. And this is one of the things I found out. I'd be driving down the road and I say, I don't need to talk. I'm a guy. I don't need to talk. I drive down the road. All these conversations are going on in my brain, where I am by my male hormones and genes and all that stuff and whatever else, I'm taught, you know, just keep it in your head, Michael. Just. And Gloria's over here just, right? And after a while, she says to me, say something. And after about 200 times of that, it begins to dawn on me, wait a minute, I need to have a relationship with my wife. It's not enough for me to have an affection in here for her. It's not enough. I have to find a way to demonstrate and make that affection in me real to her. Okay? Now, if I am learning to be a good husband, and if that's what a good husband is, who do you think God is, and how do you think he looks at us? If I learn that this is what a good husband is, and I'm just a man, don't you think God loves you enough to speak clearly to you?
Yes.
To speak words of love, words that caress your heart, Words that caress your mind. Words that gentle your emotions. Words that reveal destiny to you. Words that are clear and are not muddy because He loves you. So all prophecy is one of the ways that God works out and reveals His love to you. So this thing's all about love. Gloria and I, a couple of years ago, we were coming off of a trip up in the Northwest, and we're about to catch the red-eye flight from Seattle to Detroit. Northwest Airlines leaves about 11:15 at night. Gets in about 6 a.m. in the morning in Detroit, and it's not a bad flight. It's the red-eye flight from the West Coast. And so you can imagine the waiting room is dreary, and everybody's just... Gloria and I are leaning against the wall, doing our thing. I can't stand. I don't sit down there. I'm standing there. I'm waiting. And I've got my place as close to the gate to get in as I can without knocking over anybody, And we're standing there, and it's dreary, and it's tiring, and it's old, but we're just talking. We're deeply engrossed in conversation. And I look over her shoulder, and I see a woman way across the room looking at us like, oh, my God, I can't believe anybody. And I saw this little look of jealousy go across her face because she didn't have that kind of communication going on. And it was just God just spoke to me. He says, son, this is what I want. This is who I am. This is what I do for my people. So when we're prophesying, there's nothing weird about this. It's just God speaking to you because He loves you.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And no matter what else is going on, throw away the theology and whatever you got to do just to sit there and think, you know, my God loves me. I can't believe He said that to me. My heavens, God had a plan for me 200 years ago, and he started that plan 200 years ago. Look at Him working this plan out. He's got a destiny for me. I'm part of a plan. I'm not some isolated incident of biomass existing. I'm the apple of God's eye. He loves me. He knows what's going on. He cares. He heard my prayer this morning. Whatever it is, that's who our God is. So all we're going to do this weekend, folks, is just feast on the love of God.
Amen.
We're going to relax. We're going to have a good time. And we're just going to let God love up on us in real, tangible, clear ways. Amen?
Yes.
So, Al, why don't you come pray for us? And